There's something amazing about just being able to claim being a child of God, and this new is for everyone, even for those who are out of bounds. I love the imagery of what John writes, and as Jesus is on mission to say that no one is outside of God's reach, that each person has that opportunity to experience and understand who Jesus is and have that relationship with him. I don't know about you, but as a child, I grew up with this image of Jesus. It's probably one that was given to me out of storybooks and those things as a young child, but it was always picturing Jesus in this white robe and this blue sash, and he was always picture perfect. It didn't matter what the miracle, what the healing, what he was about, he just always seemed to be too perfect. And then it was later in life when I was introduced to this Jesus and I understood that this Jesus who was fully God became fully man, and he didn't regard equality with God a thing that he had to grasp. And he emptied himself and he said, I'm going to take on human form and I'm going to understand what it is to have joy and celebration and tears and weeping, and he was going to come for all of us who in a sense are out of bounds. This morning we have this incredible story out of John chapter 4. If you have your journal Bible, it's page 20. Invite you to go there, and we're just going to walk through this text today, beginning in verse 1 of John 4. It's this Samaritan woman who's going to come to a well. She's out of bounds, and yet Jesus makes it very, very clear that this living water that he offers each of us is what he's going to offer to her. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, sitting beside the well, it was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So we just stop there, and we understand that Jesus and his disciples, they have been baptizing people, and they have been so busy. And yet now it's time to move on, and they're going to go now into this country of Samaria that the Jews and the Samaritans had nothing to do with each other, because he's set on mission for those, in a sense, who are out of bounds. And he shows up at this well. And what I love about it is all of a sudden, this picture of a Jesus in a white robe and a blue sash and picture perfect, perhaps these pictures will help you. See, here's a woman, and she's coming. And she's coming at high noon. She's not coming when everyone else comes in community in the early morning of the coolness of the day, or in the late evening when people gather at the well. She's coming because she's been isolated. And she's coming to meet Jesus. And what I love about Jesus is that in this, he's wearied. If you look at verse 6, circle it, underline it, highlight it, whatever it takes. That here, Jesus is weary from his journey, and he's sitting beside this well. And it's this picture of Jesus leaning over. Not a Jesus in a white robe and a blue sash and having it all together. He's tired, and he's experiencing what we experience at times. Maybe you've been there recently with COVID. You feel like, man, I feel like I'm isolated, and I'm needing community. And yet Jesus will meet us where we are because he's encountered everything that we encounter. It's the theme of what this text is. That even if we're alone, there's something even better that he has to offer. So we go on and we keep reading this text, and we pick up in verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or that I may not have to come and draw water. You see, Jesus is breaking down all social barriers. Gender, nationality, social class, it doesn't matter with Jesus. He's saying no one is out of bounds, no one is out of reach. And he's going to give this water so that she will never thirst again. He's giving this water so that we will never thirst again, welling up into us as that which is eternal life. So what is it? What is this water that we're talking about? And if we go back all the way, I just really believe that the theme of the Bible from beginning to end is God with us. From the very creation, we know that there was water. And the water produced life, and the water was life-giving. And out of that, we know also that there is water time and time again through desert wanderings, through people showing up at wells, through Jesus' teaching, through what we have to anticipate as John's later writings talk about a new heaven and a river that will flow that is crystal clear, surrounding and from the throne of God. So this living water, let's go back to Genesis and let's look at a couple of scriptures. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. Get it? In very creation itself, water was involved. 722 times in the scriptures, water is used. There's a purpose of it because it's flowing and it's moving. And it's what God is talking about, this living water that wells up in us once we have that relationship with him. But through our life, he carries us. But this is where we anticipate the living water to end. Revelation 22:1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. What an incredible imagery of what living water is all about. And so this woman now is asking, and she's saying, give me this water. And Jesus, he's at this point like we are sometimes when we're sharing our faith with other people and they're just ready to receive it. And they're saying, okay, I'm all in. I want this. I want this salvation. I want this relationship. And instead of Jesus just simply saying, okay, you're in, let's go, we're going to see now in the text that he's going to uncover some of the consequences, some of the wounds, some of that which is going to need healing, so that this woman understands what all is involved when we make this commitment to Jesus and really drink of his living water. So let's continue on with this text, picking up in verse 16. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you're right in saying you have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one that you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true, the woman said to him. Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Verse 23, underline it, highlight it, mark it. But the hour is coming and now is here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Let me read that again. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. You see, Jesus knew her brokenness. Jesus knew her woundedness. Jesus knew her past. And yet that didn't stop him from inviting her into a relationship with him. But he wanted her to also understand that all of that past could be forgiven and it could be healed. And she could become a living testimony of this living water that she now was getting ready to drink. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just do things that are stupid. Just outright stupid. And it was last fall, and I was out in my usual routine on a Friday, and I was out at my mom's house, and I decided, okay, this is going to be a really good day to power wash mom's house. You know, it's the end of the year. Sometimes on the north side, some of that mold and the mildew, and you can see on this picture that this is what it looks like when it gets all clean. You know, it's just that feeling that you go, man, I've accomplished a lot today. And in the process of that, I thought, wow, I can probably make it over to my mother-in-law's. And if I do really good today, I'm probably going to even make it to my house. I mean, it was just like one of those days that everything was just going right. So I left my mom's house. I head over to my mother-in-law's house. I move stuff around. I'm power washing and I'm on her deck. And I'd moved everything except this one plant stand over in a corner. And all of a sudden, I realized that the pressure from the power washer was making this plant go, and so I reached with my left hand, and obviously my right hand, just out of reaction, went downward. Well, I said that I do things stupid. Well, for years, my stupid has been I've always power washed in flip-flops. Power washing in flip-flops, not such a smart idea, because then this is what happened. So I have this wound, and I have this wound right here on my foot, and I'm thinking, man, I just want to hide this. I'm just going to keep going because this is not going to stop me. And it was one of those that I go home and I'm just like, man, I don't want to show this to Tammy. I don't want to have to admit that I was really stupid. I mean, I've heard it 100 times, wear good shoes when you're power washing, but I didn't do it. So after taking a look at it, having Doc take a look at it, just to make sure that I wasn't going to get infection and lose my foot, it took weeks. It took literal weeks before then the scab starts forming. You've been there, right? Where you have the wound and you don't want anybody to touch it. And then the scab comes and it starts itching and you start going, okay, it's going to get better, but it's still pretty gross to look at. But then at like week 7 and 8, I'm going, man, I've got a pretty decent looking scar. And this is pretty cool to have, because like now I'm going to look at my right foot every time and I'm going to say, man, I lived through wearing flip-flops, power washing, and literally didn't take any toes off, and it's healed. I give you this illustration because this is where this woman is at. And it's oftentimes where each of us are at. You see, what Jesus is saying is, before you can taste this living water, I've got to open up the wound. And you're not going to like it, and you're not going to want other people to see it. But the Spirit of God can begin healing it from the inside out. And then it's going to be pretty ugly for a while, and it's going to start scabbing over, and yet you're going to see progress, and you're going to see the infection go away. And then all of a sudden, you see the scar. And you see what we're going to see in this woman's life is that there's a scar, but because of her scar, it's a testimony. And my guess is a lot of you are like me. We have scars in our life that we look at and that we celebrate in, that we know that living water literally has gotten us through that season of our life, that it's redeemed us from poor choices or from loneliness or from places in our life when we've been stuck and we've been broken. And we bring it to Jesus, and he does something amazing with it by filling it and quenching our thirst, that we will never have to thirst again. So we go on with this text, this water that is welling up in him, that the Father is seeking all of these things. And in verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he. You've heard Tyler talk about it. You've in weeks past, these I am statements. And isn't it incredible that Jesus chooses here for his first I am statement to be to a woman, a Samaritan, an outcast, a person of ill repute, that he says, I am who I say I am. And you can have a relationship with me. That this isn't about being on the inside. This is about being out of bounds and being welcomed to enter in. Verse 27 goes on. Just then the disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left the water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and they were coming to him. You see, what Jesus wants us to not do is to hide, to live in isolation, to in a sense only come to the well at high noon when we don't have community with others. To allow ourselves to be the outcast, to be the person that doesn't fit, that thinks that we don't deserve such living water. And what he's asking us to do is hear and receive it. Because grace is for the journey. We remember from creation itself, the water flowed out. And we know that the water surrounds the throne of our God. And no matter what your situation, whether you're broken or addicted or stuck or you're weary or you feel like the outcast, no matter what the pain in the situation of life is, Jesus says, I will sustain you and I will carry you through. So as a child, I can remember those pictures and I can remember the imagery of a Jesus that was picture perfect. But as an adult, I love the Jesus who was weary in this text, a Jesus who was tired, and yet a Jesus who offered living water because of who he is. 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege to go out on my usual Friday routine. A Friday routine where I showed up to mow my mom's yard and I found my mom collapsed from a stroke, a massive stroke. And God gave me an incredible gift of 6 days. 6 days to be reminded of moving from hospital room, to watching my mom that understood what living water was all about light up when she thought about the throne of God, when she thought about the river that was going to be crystal clear. And it was so much easier to let my mom go and to know that me and my brothers, we had the privilege this week literally to bury her. In the midst of COVID, in the midst of isolation, we celebrated a life well lived and that impacted others for the gospel. So this text becomes real to me. And this Jesus that was here leaning in and weary, I picture this Jesus. We've celebrated communion already. But this Jesus I celebrate because on the cross, we celebrate his broken body and we celebrate his blood that covers our sin. But do you remember what that guard did with that spear? He thrust that spear into his side, and the scripture says the blood and the water flowed out, and it was separated. Church, let's not miss it. The blood covers our sin. But perhaps the water is an image that God wants us to remember as his believers. That there was pure water that flowed out of the side of Jesus, even in that moment, to represent this water that continues to flow, that continues to give us life, that quenches our thirst in the most dark, dark moments. And it gives us hope of resurrection and what it will be. Skip down to verse 39 as we wrap this up today. Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you have said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world." You see the woman's testimony. She went back into town. She told them about this Jesus. They came to see him. And what I love about this imagery is that each of us have opportunity to lead others to this Jesus. But bottom line, it comes to a point when somebody has to believe it in their own heart. And they said, "No longer do we believe because what we've heard and what we see, but we believe because we've heard for ourselves and we witness for ourselves that he is alive and he is real." And I love how this text ends. "And we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world." May we each live with our thirst quenched, proclaiming till our very last breath that this indeed is the Savior of the world, who offers living water so I will never thirst again. Let's pray. Father, you are so awesome and so holy. And from the beginning of time, you created and you formed the waters so that they would bring life and that they would be life-giving. And Jesus, you were there with the Father, and Spirit you hovered over, and you became very much a part of that which would sustain life on this earth. And so today, we lean in and we celebrate the fact that Jesus came and he didn't regard equality with a father, something he had to grasp hold of. But when he did go back and sits on the throne there in that incredible city, he didn't abandon us and leave us as orphans, but Spirit, you have come and you have entered in. And you empower us to live faithful lives to the end. So today we celebrate living water. And we celebrate that you, Jesus, indeed, are the Savior of the world. And we pray this all in your name. Amen.